Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King. Everybody can be great, because everybody can serve. We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. And indeed, this region reflects a beloved community in the number of folks engaged in community serving. Not only do we have a two-legged volunteer, but we have a four-legged volunteer here today. Marta Krisovich, puppy raiser for the Autism Service Dogs of America. Welcome to our program today.
Thank you, Missy. It's great to be back.
I am so glad you joined us, but could you introduce our four-legged friend as well?
Well, the four-legged friend who's calmly laying under the table is Vienna. She is a 19-month-old golden retriever and maybe going back to college or advanced training next month.
This is the exciting part. We had you on a couple of months ago to talk about your work as a volunteer with the organization, and we really dove into what moved you to do this, what it's like having a dog in the program. This program, we're going to talk about a little bit more, the placement. But for those listeners who didn't have the opportunity, and of course, they can listen in on our podcast to get a richer understanding of the prequel, if you will. Tell us how you became involved with puppy raising.
I lost a dog when I shouldn't have, and I was much too devastated to get another dog. But a neighbor suggested that I volunteer and raise a service dog so that I could learn and do something, give with the heartbreak that I had, give back. And I loved it, so I still do it.
And you live here in Jefferson County, but the organization, I understand, is in Oregon. So you took it upon yourself to engage with the Autism Service Dogs of America. How did you become trained for this? I mean, what was a little bit of the initial steps to do this?
The first dog I had was from Guide Dogs for the Blind out of San Rafael, California, and I lived right there. So I was able to got some training from them. And then with Autism Service Dogs of America, I went down and spent some time with their lead puppy trainer and get regular contact from her and also meet with the group, sometimes once a month.
So initially you went down for puppy raising training. You didn't have a dog per se. You just learned the skill sets. Mm-hmm. And that was what, every month or so you went in, or?
It was all sort of scrunched in to a short period of time for I was down there 3 days.
Okay.
And I was working with the dog they were going to give me at the time.
Oh, how exciting. And then you come home and you have Vienna in your home, or you've had a prior autism service dog to Vienna?
We've raised four puppies so far, dogs. And the first one was Guide Dogs for the Blind. The last three have been Autism Service Dogs of America. Right now we have Vienna.
And Vienna, you mentioned earlier, came to your home at the age of 4 months, fully weaned. Is that right?
Most of them do. Okay. But she was sick. They held on to her longer. She had gotten very, very sick. So she was actually 6 months old when we got her.
And so most of your training, we're not talking about sit, stay commands, toilet training or anything. We're really talking about customized, specific training. Tell me about an average day with Vienna as you bring her into your home.
Yes, they come usually around 4 months, mm-hmm. and they already have had a lot of training, and they're already mostly housebroken, which is great. You get all the fun of having a puppy without some of the terror and the extra work. What's nice is I'm with her 24/7, so I get to know her intimately. Yes, I only have her 12 to 15 months, but I get to know her intimately, and it's so much easier to train a dog when you're with them all the time. Barking. It's hard to train a dog when they're left home and they're allowed to bark because you're not there. Mm. But when you're with them all the time, you hear every single bark. So it's simple to train them to not bark.
Well, we talked about that before when I thought about, the flow of bringing a dog into your everyday life and, the other people in your home. And I was really struck by the idea that the dog goes with you. It's very acceptable because it's a service dog. There's a tolerance for the dog to be at your workplace, at a restaurant, at Home Depot. And could you speak to our listeners who might be thinking about this? How difficult is it to integrate a dog? I know you've had a few dogs in your home, but imagine the first time dog raiser, puppy raiser.
People have been very accommodating to wherever we go. So I can take her base almost everywhere. And I worked in healthcare, so I've even taken her to hospitals on rounds with me. And because I can take her everywhere, I'm training her just as I'm living my daily life.
It just slips right in.
Right.
So our previous episode, we talked at length about this training process. And for those of you who are just joining us, do look to our podcast page at kpdz.org under the podcast, and you'll find more information about how to get involved with the Autism Service Dogs of America. This episode, we're going to talk a little bit more about the integration into the family home through the organization, ASDA for acronym. So let's fast forward a bit to where Vienna's been in the home or the prior dog 15 months now. How do you begin to let go of the dog? How does the dog begin to integrate into a destination or a home?
It's sometimes a 6-month process between me and for them being placed in a home.
Oh, interesting.
So they leave me, and that's tough, but I've known from the beginning it's not my dog.
Mm.
The better the dog is, the more I know they need to have the opportunity to change the life of a child and a family. The difference is phenomenal that they make. So they leave me, but I get another puppy in my arms, a bundle of adorable bundle of energy and love.
Right away? You wait until the 6 months is over
No
kidding.
And so that takes your energy, but they've already been, as I said, trained. That dog already knows a lot, even at 4 months old.
That's an interesting perspective when you say, now this dog is meant to be doing things like this. It's not fair to the dog to not be doing those things, so it makes it a little easier to let go. So now I read on the website that they're in something called phase one, where they go back to the headquarters. You'd referred to it earlier as going to college.
I tend to call it going to college, but the organization says calls it advanced training.
I see.
She's with trainers who are academically prepared and certified to train, not only just train dogs, but train dogs that will be working with disabilities, and for this organization, specifically and only autism.
And I understood there was a waiting list, and oftentimes these dogs, you kind of have a family in mind when they go back to the headquarters, that there are very specific nuances. And with autism, as a nurse, you could speak a little bit about perhaps there's a collection of spectrums within that. They may have additional learning disabilities or mobility issues. So the puppy is now at headquarters, and they're nuancing that training they've had for 15 months to be customized. Is that correct? To the family,
yes.
Or to the child?
To the family and the child. So yes, it is a spectrum. And as you said, many people with autism have other disabilities as well. So they are trained specifically for that, the community environment they're going to explain, you know, and the family, and especially the child. They are paired during college or advanced training with children in schools right away. They start transitioning and getting used to being in schools all day long, and usually at schools with kids with autism. And so they are exposed to children's schools and kids with autism early on, and they're trained for the general types of things that children with autism have, and then specifically. But they are keeping an eye out from very early on in this dog's life for what type of a community child and family that dog would be most comfortable in and most useful in.
So I read also that the family member comes into that training, the primary caregiver, prior to the introduction to really fully integrating with the child. Mm. And so phase one is really focusing some training for the family members. And before we get too far, I'd like to make sure folks who are intrigued by this organization, how they might get involved as a volunteer themselves at the Autism Service Dogs of America. Would you recommend the best email for our listeners?
Yes, it's information.asda@gmail.com is the email address.
Mm-hmm.
The organization is www.autismservicedogsofamerica.org.
Fantastic. Now, if you're just joining us, this is KPTZ 91.9 in Port Townsend, Washington, and I'm Missy Nielsen of Everybody Can, and I'm speaking with Marta Krisovich. We're talking about service dogs, primarily that help families with children of autism. We're now at the phase of the puppies training where they've moved into almost full-time work at the family home. But I'm curious, we haven't really talked about how powerful this service dog is, what the impact for the family is to have a dog like that. As a nurse, you could perhaps help us understand some of the challenges of autism that, you know, we see on the, as an outsider. What does that dog do for the family, the safety or security, perhaps of what is it like to have this additional set of eyes, if you will, in the home?
Safety is the number one thing. There's a number of risks for children with autism. Some of them wander, some of them run, but they often don't have awareness of their environment. So it's very dangerous, and many of them are attracted to water. So drowning is a big risk. Running in front of a truck is a big risk.
Oh, my.
So the family has to be with that child constantly. You can never let go of the child's hand in the supermarket. If you're lucky enough to have a child with autism who is comfortable going to the supermarket, you may never as a family be able to go to a restaurant, a supermarket, to go anywhere with the child, even take the child for a ride in the car, because having all that stimulation of the outside world is so stressful for them.
Mm.
So after they've gone through, while they're in college, they are getting 20 to 25 hours a week of individualized training, plus training in not quite as individualized through the whole rest of the day, 24 hours a day, essentially like they are in my home. Once they get through that and they have chosen a family, and the parents of the children typically go to Portland and spend 5 days there being trained on how to handle that particular dog,
mm-hmm.
and how to keep the dog safe and comfortable and effective in terms of being able to support their family.
You know, it's got to be particularly challenging. One of the things that occurred to me is I'm a dog owner and a dog walker. How easily people approach you and just want to talk to you about your dog. And now you've got a special child that has a particular way of interacting with the world that may not be able to provide that buffering language that says, no, you really can't pet my dog right now. So the dog has more responsibility to put that barrier up, doesn't he?
The dog is trained while they're with the puppy raisers like me. They're trained to, when they're in their coat, they know they're working, and they don't typically even look at other people. They don't expect people to touch them.
Oh, interesting.
Now, at my level, they're not going to pull away if somebody tries to touch them. They're not going to like really resist it. They are still pretty young, but they know they don't expect it. They don't ask for it. By the time they're with the family, they would tend to resist it because they are so focused on their child. That is all that matters to them. Just the child that they're with. They're 100% focused on that child. And that child needs that.
Mm-hmm.
That child needs that.
It occurred to me also that not only, you know, we have that challenge with integrating the dog with not, you know, talking to others, but it is also a little bit of buffer. It might provide more social integration for the young person, you know, makes them a little bit more socially connected. And I was really struck. Now, have we had any dogs placed in the community in the Puget Sound area that you know about?
I had the privilege of supporting a placement just recently. This was a family lives in the Puget Sound with a child in third grade who hated school and who was, the school was having trouble with the child was having trouble with school. It was all very uncomfortable for everybody. And this child couldn't go anywhere in the community with the family. It was too stressful for the child.
Mm.
They've got a dog at home, but the dog and the child never really connected. The dog, so the family was kind of worried that, well, is this child going to even connect? One thing that's important is it's rare that they don't connect. But if they don't, still the dog knows it's responsible for that child's safety, at the very least. But within just a few days of the... So the family came for 5 days. Then the dog went back with the family for a couple of weeks. And then two autism service dog trainers went and were with the family every day and evening, helping to try to integrate him in. And it was tough. This family was afraid to take their child places. Mm-hmm. And they had to be coaxed. Don't worry, it's going to be okay. We'll take care of it. They needed a lot of support. But every single place they went, everywhere they took the child and the dog, it worked out fine.
Life-changing for that kiddo.
Life-changing. And within a couple of days of them being there, the dog suddenly just gave a spontaneous hug. And at one point, they left with the dog to do something with the mother, left the child with the father. And the child said, "I'm going to go find my buddies. I want to find my dog," and starts walking to town.
Oh, my. Confidence building, too.
School did not want the dog at school. And within just a few days of them being at the school and teaching the kids and the school was much more comfortable. And now it's easier for the school to have the child. They thought it was going to be more work. It's actually easier because the child's comfortable. The other children at the school are treating the child completely differently. The dog is an emotional anchor for the child. The child can concentrate in school better, participate, they're more verbal, and other children are talking to that child instead of taunting that child. It was huge. I was getting reports every evening, and just living this every day with the transition was amazing.
What an uplifting way to end our program. I'm telling you, we need more stories like this. So if you're listening to us today and are wondering about how you might do something special, you know, consider this organization at Autism Service Dogs of America. Marta Krusevich, thank you so much for coming in and for bringing Vienna in, who didn't even peep. Well, Everybody Can is a production of KPTZ 91.9. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen. Our production coordinator and sound engineer is Jared Dufresne. I would like to thank our programming manager, Larry Stein, and all of the incredible volunteers that work hard to bring eclectic music, local news, and conversations to us here on the North Olympic Peninsula. You can also join us on the web at kptz.org. Now go out, get involved, and consider raising a puppy. Thank you again, Marta.
Thank you.